Why don't we move on to our next presentation, which is on the San Antonio I-10 corridor. We have Brian Ferrello from the Texas DOT that will be presenting. Brian?
Yes, this is Brian Ferrello, TxDOT. With me is Lily Banda with the City of San Antonio and Steve Dellenbach with Southwest Research Institute. San Antonio's ICM project covered the I-10 corridor in northwest San Antonio. That's one of the primary radial freeway corridors in San Antonio, connecting the central business districts with residential areas in the northwest side of the city. In addition, the University of Texas at San Antonio has its main campus on the northern edge of the corridor near Loop 1604. It has a satellite campus in the downtown area, and there is the students do attend classes at both campuses, and there's a express bus service between the two campuses. Some major employment centers include USAA and Valero, along with the South Texas Medical Center. The medical center has over 20,000 employees, USAA around 15,000, Valero a little under 10,000, all in that area. In addition, the tourism industry is very big in San Antonio, and there are recreational areas on both ends of the corridor, the Six Flags amusement park, as well as some shopping centers. The San Antonio Riverwalk and the Alamo are in the downtown area. Why San Antonio needs ICM? Increased congestion and increased congestion on the expressways, decreased reliability of those expressways. The arterials become congested. Currently, we're working on a project to update the traffic signal control to maximize throughput. It doesn't exist now. We have decreased bus transit reliability on the expressways, and in some areas, spare capacity is available. We're looking at future construction in the area, a bus rapid transit system and on the expressway. This is the I-10 corridor. As you see here, it's approximately 15 miles of I-10 from the northwest side of the city into the downtown area. There's a split level expressway located near the downtown area. We have parallel frontage roads the entire length of the corridor, and many adjacent arterials. Fredericksburg Road, which I'll talk a little bit more about, as well as Bandera Road on the western edge and Northwest Military on the eastern edge of the corridor. Bus transit services in the corridor, there's actually significant ridership in this corridor, the highest of any area in the city. Again, there's an express bus service between the UT San Antonio campuses, the main campus being up in the northwest side of the city, the downtown campus being at the southern edge of it, as well as there being multiple park and ride locations on the city. Some other things going on the corridor. Recently, two major reconstruction projects were completed on the corridor. One of them on I-10 near Loop 410 close to the downtown area, as well as a new interchange being constructed in the I-10 Loop 410 area. Traffic counts on the northern end about 143,000 vehicles per day. Southern end around 173,000. The highest count on the corridor is actually midway through the corridor near the 410 I-10 interchange, and that's about 200,000 vehicles per day. Loop 345, which is called Fredericksburg Road here, parallels I-10, and way back when, before the interstate system was conducted, that was actually the predecessor to I-10, being US 87. So it departs I-10 near the southern edge, parallels it, and merges back in near the northern edge. And that's about 8 miles along the corridor. Earlier we mentioned bus rapid transit. That's going to be the site of the first bus rapid transit system in San Antonio. That's projected to go online in 2012. It should begin construction next year. So from 2009 to 2012, there's going to be a significant amount of construction. That is a corridor that is near capacity, and the construction project itself will cause a lot lot of disruptions to traffic, which will really impact the need for ICM. The ITS system was installed on I-10 in the late 1990s. As part of the reconstruction project of I-10, we've been able to upgrade our ITS system on the corridor. The city traffic signal modernization project is underway, and many of the controllers on along I-10 will be upgraded here in the near future. Again, there is existing high ridership on the transit systems in the area. How will ICM help San Antonio? Some of the ICM operational approaches and strategy. We're going to improve information sharing and distribution. It'll improve the operational efficiency of the network junctions and interfaces. We'll accommodate and promote cross-network and modal shifts. We'll manage capacity and demand on the corridor. Some specific examples will be promoting alternate routes, using our dynamic message signs to promote alternate routes. Improving throughput on the front road and arterials with signal timing patterns to support diverted traffic from the expressway, and improving our travel information services. We'll be using the ICM during the bus rapid transit construction to mitigate the impact on the corridor. We use ICM in conjunction with incident management to promote alternate routes and modal shifts. And in addition, it'll help promote special event management on the corridor. This is a graphic showing our operational tactics. Again, you know, we're going to be relying on a decision support system through real-time data sharing and data archiving. This will provide information that for our DMS subsystem. That will allow us to use our entrance ramp frontage road DMS to provide arterial information. We don't have ramp metering the traffic signals at our entrance ramp, so we have small dynamic message signs. Those have traditionally been used only to provide information on conditions to expect when a driver gets on the freeway main lane. In addition to that information, we're going to use the ICM project to allow us put information on those same message signs on conditions to expect on the arterials. We'll be able to implement appropriate signal timing plans with the upgrade of the city signal systems. We're planning to expand our congestion management program through our dynamic message signs, the internet, and via the transit system with their on-street timing. Additionally, who are the ICM stakeholders? The Texas Department of Transportation, the City of San Antonio, Via Metropolitan Transit, the San Antonio Police Department, San Antonio's Emergency Operations Center, the San Antonio Fire Department, Southwest Research Institute, and the Texas Transportation Institute. All those agencies except the Emergency Operations Center have a presence at San Antonio TransGuide. The city and county, City of San Antonio and Bexar County, built a new emergency operations center, and we are obviously sharing data and video with the emergency operations center. Institutional, how San Antonio define roles and achieve buy-in among the ICM stakeholders. We created ICM mission and vision statements based on common transportation themes from the public stakeholder agencies' mission statements, vision statements, and goals. This allowed for executive-level support from the public stakeholder agencies. Utilizing existing facilities, forums, and working relationships to facilitate institutional cooperation. San Antonio's existing ITS Technical Committee provides ICM policy and operational procedures, ICM oversight, and manages the physical infrastructure planning for the region. The committee reviewed current and planned projects that were both funded and unfunded among the agencies. We use the ICM concept to put essentially an umbrella over cross-agency projects. Most projects were planned and we were moving towards implementation. The decision support system is a primary ICM strategy that was really brand new. And again, the TransGuide, the San Antonio TransGuide facility currently hosts public sector agencies in this co-located facility. Technical, the San Antonio ICMS, San Antonio ICM system architecture. There are a number of data providers via the ABL system, the City of San Antonio's traffic signal subsystem, TxDOT's traffic sensors, San Antonio Police Department's 911 CAD system. We're going to use a data interchange using TxDOT center-to-center application. The decision support system, locate that. Decision support system will provide historical data analysis, alarm management, alarm triggers, alarm trigger thresholds, ABL travel time engine, and we'll be upgrading San Antonio's travel time application. There's going to be an ICM-specific web server, specifically for the ICM strategies. That information will be shared with the stakeholders, ultimately through their each agency's internet application. There's a planned upgrade of the San Antonio TransGuide website in the works, and that will be done including the ICM strategies. There's going to be a corridor-specific website, which will include personal trip planning, a corridor map, corridor data, as well as access to PDA content. And at this point, please note the light color are existing systems, the darker blue color are new systems as a result of the ICM project. Existing subsystems that are key to ICM, first of all, of course, the center-to-center application, something that's been in place here at TransGuide for quite a while. We'll be expanding the use of it through ICM. That collects data transportation-related data from disparate regional systems, data views into a central server for distribution between agencies and systems, and it is standards-based. In addition, our data archive will archive the center-to-center data. Historical data is available. Incident detection based on historical trends as well as data analysis. The newly proposed ICM subsystems, the center-to-center interfaces between the agencies, the ICMS operation user interface, the decision support system, again, historical data analysis, ICMS event management, ICMS arterial travel times. Corridor webpage providing personal and emergency trip planning, corridor data and map, and mobile device accessible website. Some of our lessons learned, operational, the co-location was essential and has been throughout the history of TransGuide. Our working group meetings are a key. They ensure stakeholder involvement, provide a forum to obtain input and reach a consensus. We recommend 3 to 5 meetings in the type of time frame that in which we implemented our ICM documentation. Involve stakeholders with operational knowledge, decision-making power, could require more than one stakeholder per agency. Leveraging existing operational strategies, one of the key multi-agency operational plans that we've had in place for a very long time is the ICE plan for San Antonio, and we do experience an ICE storm that involves maintenance offices from both the state and the city, as well as the county, multiple police agencies, the fire department, as well as operational staff from TxDOT in the city. lessons learned, leveraging existing agency coordination relationships, utilization of existing forums. Again, our ITS technical committee was key to the development of our ICM proposal. Understanding public agency objectives and current issues, communicate to ICM in terms of others' needs. Technical lessons learned, requirement specification, focus requirements on what the system will do functionally, avoid designing system details during the requirements development, utilize staff and consultants familiar with existing systems, maximize building upon existing systems and capabilities. Arterial travel time conditions and data are a challenge. The lack of ITS infrastructure for gathering the data exists nationwide, as we've heard in many cases. We feel that there's a potential to use the best ABL data scale to account for service-related stops and reduce travel speeds. Challenges exist in applying standard IDAS software results at the corridor level. And I believe that concludes our presentation.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Why don't we take a couple minutes then to receive some questions from our audience for Brian and his partners. It looks like we've actually have at least one question. Jennifer, would you like to read it?
Sure.
Thank you again. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your touchtone phone.
And while we wait to see if anyone has any questions over the phone, the first one typed in is, when using DMS to divert traffic, will frontage road DMS will frontage road DMS or mainline DMS be used? For example, will freeway be diverted to freeway, frontage road divert to frontage roads, or will you divert across class of facility, including mainline down to local streets?
The correct answer is probably all of the above. We have historically used our mainline DMS to tell people if, in the event of a full closure, simply that the road is closed completely, use an alternate route without specifying the alternate route. We feel that in the event of something on the main lanes, again, we can use the frontage road DMS to tell people to remain on the frontage road now that the frontage roads are continuous. I don't know if I mentioned it, the construction of the interchange at 410 and Interstate 10 allowed us to actually complete the frontage roads all the way through. They were continuous from the downtown area to 410, and then from the north side of 410 out to 1604, they weren't continuous through the interchange, now they are. So now the frontage roads themselves are a continuous alternate route to the main lanes. In addition, the biggest thing, and maybe the real answer to the question, is that we do intend to use those frontage road DMS to give information on upcoming arterials, which is something we've not done before.
And how do you monitor this information? That's, I guess, the second part of the question.
How do we monitor the information? Not sure if that means the...
Does it mean like the monitor the conditions on the arterials, the frontage roads?
Yeah, monitoring the condition on the arterials. That is where our work with the City of San Antonio comes in. Part of their traffic signal upgrade includes the installation of CCTV cameras themselves, full pan-tilt zoom control cameras, as well as bringing back snapshots from the Vivid systems that are being installed with all of the signals. So that's going to be the biggest step that we'll take, as well as the sharing of information with the police department, receiving information both from the city's CAD system directly, as well as being co-located with the traffic dispatcher for traffic incidents.
Okay.
We have a couple more questions, Jennifer.
Sure. The next question is bus AVL the only means to measure arterial traffic times?
At this time, we believe the answer is yes. We've not identified a strategy, even with the city's new focus on ITS on arterials. We've not really identified a method other than applying data from the AVL system to develop arterial travel times.
And I'd just like to add that a part of the ICM initiative for our phase two, we are conducting an activity to fill the gap on the arterial data, such as travel times and speeds.
Okay, the next question is, can you describe the personal trip planning from the perspective of the consumer?
I don't know that we can give a detailed description. We know that we do plan to do it. We've not begun the probably detailed design of that. Probably you've seen that in other applications in the past. One of our intentions would be to do an industry review, find out what's been done so far, do focus groups with locals, both individuals and with some of the corporate partners that we've been working with, specifically USAA and Valero, to find out what the needs of their individuals would be.
The next question, Brian, I'll ask to you first, and then Steve, you might have an answer too. But the question is, with high ridership on existing transit routes, how much capacity is there on these services? Capacity and reliability often need to be seen to exist before people will switch modes. Is the ICM project considering transit capacity and transit's public image alongside the importance of ITS?
The answer, this is Brian Ferrello. We might be able to get, I know some of we don't have anyone from VA here in the room with us, but I noted that someone was online and maybe they could provide an answer through a comment. But I think as many others, we've seen a significant increase in transit ridership recently and an increased focus on that. And we are attempting to ensure that the capacity issues are being met. Our understanding is that the express bus service, specifically from the UTSA main campus to the downtown campus, is at or near capacity on a daily basis during the school years. So that and that's really critical. We know as part of ICM, ensuring that students are able to get from the main campus to the park and ride, and do that in time to get on the bus and get to the other campus in time to not be late for their classes. So, yeah, we do feel that the ridership on the transit routes in the corridor is critical.
I can add to that, and if the person who's participating from Via Metro wants to type in something, that would be great also. But San Antonio is planning on implementing a BRT system, so that's at some added capacity. And I believe they're planning on implementing transit signal priority along with that to help maintain the travel time reliability. So there's different transit strategies that can be implemented to help transit more attractive. But that's true. You do have to make transit more attractive, and you have to have that additional capacity in order to accommodate any mode shift to transit.
Next question, what are the challenges of using the IDAS software results?
All right, based on feedback we got from TTI staff, specifically Steve Engler and Cesar Quiroga, we felt that a generic approach for estimating ICMS potential benefits was used in San Antonio based on the approach used by the FHWA's IDAS ITS deployment and analysis system software. The difficulty in applying this approach at the corridor level early in the ICMS planning process underscored the need to develop new methods to estimate the types of ITS benefits expected to result from ICMS deployment. The other thing to consider was that one of the difficulties in attempting to use ITS was the lack of appropriate data to feed into the tool, which would indicate limitations with the data, but not necessarily limitations with the IDAS tool.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions on the phone?
Yes, we do. We have one from Joe Roach. Sir, your line is open.
Yes, ramp, small DMS signs, is that in lieu of possible ramp metering, or is that something you're going to explore?
That is, we do not have ramp metering in San Antonio. It was in place here many years ago, but all those gun laws and ramp meters just didn't go well together. So we took the approach of the small message signs at the entrance ramps. Those are very popular, and we think very well received, especially in areas where we have continuous frontage roads. So the plan is that we don't have any plans at this point for deploying ramp meters in San Antonio. We do have many of the frontage road dynamic message signs deployed, and we will continue to deploy those.
Any more questions on the phone, from the phone?
No, that was our only question.
And we do have a written response from Via Metro concerning the one question about the available capacity and congestion on transit routes. Jennifer, would you like to read that?
Sure. And this, I know we may have some people that have just are calling in and aren't online, so I will go ahead and read it. They said, our system still has plenty of capacity as a whole. However, Fred Road, part of the study corridor, does have a capacity issue in terms of transit. We are building bus rapid transit to help address that capacity issue and are also planning a public image campaign or branding to help address the image issue. We are also hoping that TSP, working with other ITS features, will improve transit time, helping to attract choice riders.
And in that case, TSP does stand for Traffic Signal Prioritization.
Yes.